From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Farm and Neil McCready finally back in the Clark Ford studio here with us today to close the work week. We'll talk a little baseball as Ole Miss starts its 2018 season against Winthrop. That's a 4 o'clock start today. It is a 1:30 start tomorrow and then a 12:30 start on Sunday, weather permitting. Looks like today and Sunday in decent shape. Tomorrow kind of hit or miss and some rough weather at times on Saturday. So we'll talk some baseball today. Ryan Brown joins us, and we've switched a little from college football. I don't know that other than making fun of Nick Saban a little bit, we had a whole lot of football talk, a lot of college basketball, and just some wonderings that we have with Ryan most every Friday. So he joins us. We'll have a good time with him here in a bit, an extended session with Ryan Brown on the show today, a show that is brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford, 1 week away from the FCA Breakfast on Campus. You can get tickets at OleMissFCA.com. And it's sponsored again by Craddock Oil. They are presenting sponsors of that event. So get your tickets. Have a good time before Ole Miss and Tulane later in the day. You'll get to hang out with Evan Ingram. He is the presenting guest, the special guest for that breakfast on the Ole Miss campus. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Simple. It's right to the bottom line. Great service after the sale. It's such an easy car buying experience. Tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts. It's $500 off the bottom line at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
Did you get some sleep last night? Are you tired? What's kind of your mental condition this morning?
Yeah, I'm tired. Mentally, I'm fried a little bit. Emotionally, I'm kind of fried a little bit, honestly. But yeah, I slept. I was tired. I went to bed early. Fell asleep quickly and was basically unconscious all night. It was the first good sleep I've gotten in several days.
I'm only going to ask one question about anything you've done.
Okay.
Next time you get jury duty, what do you think the emotion will be for you? Just duty, not knowing what it is, nothing, because you had no idea going into this week. What will the emotion be when the letter comes in the mail?
Well, I have a 2-year out clause.
Do you really? Okay.
If you've served on a jury that went to verdict,
okay,
you can excuse yourself for 2 years.
Okay.
And I will. The only thing I'll say about it, I don't want to talk about the case, and I don't want to talk specifically about anything that happened.
Okay.
There were a lot of wonderful people in that room with me over the last 4 days. All walks of life, male, female, black, white. We never talked about politics, but I suspect lots of different political persuasions and opinions. And we all did a job that we took an oath to do. And I was impressed and emboldened and encouraged by that. People of different ages, probably ranged in age from mid-20s to upper 50s. And that was kind of cool. And then only other thing I'll say is, you know, you can't on one hand talk about the system and then on the other hand everybody's trying to get off of a jury. It's no fun. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you it's great fun. And you don't get paid much. But when you see the system work, it's kind of a powerful experience, really. What we were asked to do is a very draining thing.
Yeah.
It's a It's not something that anyone, I can assure you, the one thing I'll say about it, there was not a person in that room who did not understand the gravity of that situation, who did not understand the weight of that, who did not feel it, and who was not ultimately impacted by it. There was not a person in that room who made it out of that without shedding a multitude of tears, not one.
On Monday, for something that we have never tried to do together, probably never done individual, broke a resignation story of a college basketball coach while you were actually in jury duty. Had some challenges. It was
yeah, the bailiff was breaks. Not happy was, with me it, on my phone.
Yeah, it was Neil getting yelled at by, or not yelled at, but getting sternly looked at by the bailiff. It
stared a hole in me. Like, get off your phone. And I kind of look back at him like, I really can't.
So you didn't like, you couldn't like walk up to the judge and go, you know, Andy Kennedy is getting fired today. What do you want me to do? Like that's not a plausible out there. You don't think?
It crossed my mind. Had the opportunity presented itself where I could have done that to say, I'm working on a story here, and I can't do this right now. But it's one of those things where in the, what do they call it, the Vordire?
Vordire, yeah.
They don't really care about your job.
Now, there's not a lot of outside whatever at all.
You know, it's kind of like the question with me would be, well, does that, so if you can't do that, is there no one that can do it? And the answer is, well, yeah, there are other people who can do it. Well, then you're here.
It has an effect on your livelihood potentially, however. I mean, it's a reach.
It did, but it would have to. You'd have to prove that it would have a dramatic effect on my livelihood. That it would change.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
I mean, you know, how many subscribers are going to say, no? You know what? You got jury duty instead of breaking that story. I'm out.
Probably not losing 40% of our populace.
I wouldn't guess.
Yeah.
I'm far more likely to lose subscribers based on what I'm trying to have as a deep context take on Mike White than I would the fact that I missed it on jury duty.
Yeah, but I don't know. Monday was interesting, but it is what it is. It's done now, and
it's another chapter. You know,
it's another chapter.
Another chapter in the book that will never be written.
The book that will never be a good title if you ever actually did write the book.
Yeah.
The book that will never be written.
The book that will absolutely, positively never be written. That would be another chapter in said book.
Well, I got a chuckle with Antonio Morales on Monday. I don't think I said this on the podcast. Maybe I did. If not, I didn't go into detail because we were kind of scatterbrained. But I did, you know, that they had us on Monday parking the loading dock behind the pavilion to go into the press conference area in the pavilion. And the only time I've done that before was Hugh Freeze, the night that all hell broke loose in that way with Freeze, and there was a lot of people, and I wasn't really paying attention, and we were all on our phones and whatever. So I get out of the loading dock, and I go walk in the door, and, I mean, all jokes aside, I've covered one game at the Pavilion before Tuesday night against Arkansas, and it was Kentucky last year.
Right.
And I don't really remember much. I don't have a great sense of direction. I really don't, because I don't pay attention. I'm on my phone. I'm doing something. I'm not looking around for landmarks. So on Monday, I just start wandering around. And I have no idea where the hell I'm going. No clue. I'm over by the court. I'm over by the locker rooms. I'm everywhere. And finally, Kyle Campbell, the head of sports information, he goes, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I don't know. I have no idea." And he's like, "It's over there." And I'm like, "Where?" And he has to go and lead me over, and I have to get chaperoned into the media room because I had no idea where I was headed. But it's like on Tuesday night when I'm going in and get my pass for the basketball game. By the way, credit to Ole Miss Media Relations. They helped me out quickly with some credential stuff and parking passes and whatnot, as we were in a bit of a situation, and the little lady, the usher, goes, "Do you know where you're going?" I said, "I think so. Maybe so. I'm hoping." But it worked out. It was fine. But, yeah, I got lost. So anyway. That's that. Rebelgrove.com. Russell got some recruiting up yesterday. I profiled David Kellum late last night, early this morning, beginning his 40th season of Ole Miss baseball play-by-play. Wow. He started as a high school senior. He did the SEC tournament in 1977. His mother, Helen, was a theater professor on campus. And the head of the campus news station didn't have anybody because all the students had gone home in May for the summer. And not knowing who David was, he was just yelling in a general direction, I don't have anybody to do the game. And David piped up, said, I can do it. And he said, who are you? And he said, David Kellum. And having no broadcast experience whatsoever, he did the SEC tournament in 77 for the campus news station. A year later, the local Oxford voice of Rebel Baseball left to go start a sporting goods store in Arkansas. And other than in 1985, when the station lost the rights for a year, David Kellum has been the voice of Ole Miss Baseball. So starting his 40th season today at 4 o'clock when Ole Miss plays Winthrop. I mean, doing anything for 40 years. He's been doing baseball and basketball, I mean, football and basketball for 28, I think, but baseball for 40.
And one of the nicest people you'll ever meet.
Yeah,
just a great guy.
Gives his time for anything.
Yeah, just whatever.
He, I point this out in the story, so read it, but he has every score sheet from every game he's ever called, and he has the audio of every game he's called.
Really?
Stan Torgerson, the longtime Ole Miss play-by-play guy for multiple sports,
right,
told David, he said, record and listen so you know what you're doing wrong, and listen to yourself, record every game. And what Torgerson would do was, he lived in Meridian, so he would listen to the game on the drive home back to Meridian on and the pass
he'd
the
listen
time.
To the recording.
Yeah, he'd listen to the recording when he got back in his car and critique himself while he's driving to pass the time and get something accomplished at the same time. So since that point, David said it's been on all sorts of different formats because technology has changed, but that he said about 98% of every recording he's ever done on the radio for Ole Miss Athletics.
That's amazing.
I mean, part of it was because when it first started in 78, 79, 80, with baseball being a secondary sport at the time, the SIDs didn't keep track from just a record standpoint the way that they do today. So David said some of it he was doing for the university because it might be the only record they have of those games in some ways from the late 70s and the early 80s as far as who did what and the ability to archive it.
Trying not to tell a joke right now.
Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead, tell it.
I can't.
You can tell it.
I can't. I'll have to tell you later.
Okay. You can't tell it?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right. Well, anyway.
You kind of already know where I'm going, but I can't go.
Story up, rebelgrove.com. Check it out. Again, we'll have plenty of content. Baseball, Winthrop. We'll talk baseball in a little bit on the show, but nonetheless. We've talked Michael White. Frankly, I'm tired of it. We're not going to do it today. That's okay with you. Okay,
it's fine with me.
Is it all right?
Yes.
I've made an executive decision. We're not going to talk baseball. We're not going to talk basketball today.
We talk a little bit of it with Ryan Brown. So if you want to hear some of that, you can because he asked about it.
Yeah, we do a lot of basketball with Ryan coming up in a
mostly on the Pete Thamel Yahoo story.
Right.
Which is, whoa.
If it's well-sourced, the changing of the game is what it is. Is that as it moves forward.
Think what you think of him. He's a fantastic reporter with great sourcing, and the stuff that he is saying is stuff that I've been hearing in the coaching community for a while now.
When that story came out, the two people that would have made me listen the most had they written it would have been Thamel and Dan Wetzel, I think, from a college sports breaking news standpoint.
And also Gary Parrish.
Yeah, and Parrish was fan too.
I would give Gary that same category.
That's fair there. So, anyway, you can read that at Yahoo. They do good work on it. Got some pretty good sourcing and some pretty explosive quotes as they talk about what it even can mean for this year's NCAA tournament moving forward. Going to go to Ryan now for an extended talk with him. The podcast is brought to you in a part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. Weather, the temperature actually pretty heated up today. I think we're getting up around 70 at one point. So when it heats up for good and you need some lawn and landscape care, they can take care of you. Remember, when you mentioned the podcast, you get a free cut when you sign an annual contract. They also can build the outdoor living areas, the pergolas, the decks, the fences, and more there with MasterCuts. So MasterCutsLawn.com, 662-607-7773.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give him a call, go to Google, read Romero Miller State Farm reviews, and then if you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, you should call Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc. Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800.
Now let's talk with our buddy Ryan Brown on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Good morning, Ryan. I'm just kind of curious here. Yesterday, Yahoo with a pretty serious story about the college basketball sport, about how half of the teams that had to do with the, the early seeding for the NCAA tournament can be in severe danger. We've been hearing about the FBI wanting to make more of a splash. What's kind of the meter reading over there? Because you would think if there's a program that is in the crosshairs of this thing, it might be the Auburn Tigers.
Oh, there's no doubt. And Alabama got kind of caught up in it, obviously, because of the Colin Sexton situation. They immediately fired Kobe Baker, who was like a basketball operations guy. He wasn't an on-the-floor coach. Sexton sat one game, was cleared by the NCAA to play. So I think Alabama fans feel like based on all of that, they would probably escape from it. I think the Auburn fans, I don't think it really changes what the Auburn fans fear, because the Auburn fans already know Chuck Person's tied up in it. He was one of the ones that's named, and they kind of know the situation where the school president has basically called out Bruce Pearl that, you know, in spite of all the success, he's still going to have to talk to him and face the music about, you know, whatever did happen there. So I don't know that it would increase Auburn fans' anxiety any since the story broke. I haven't done a show yet, so we'll see. I would imagine, though, if, you know, you're in the Durham, North Carolinas and Chapel Hill, North Carolinas of the world, you start to get a little bit worried, because when they start talking Hall of Fame coaches and programs that were in the top 16, you know who you are. I mean, if you're in Lawrence, Kansas, you're probably pretty nervous about it. So, you know, I think those are the places that are nervous about it. But I mean, there's really I don't think there's anything in this story that when it comes out would surprise me. Now, it might be salacious details that are fun to read, and you're like, wow, that's crazy. But I don't think I'm going to be surprised by anything at all. So you're telling me college basketball recruiting is dirty? I mean, that is, that's the oldest team in the world. Who doesn't know that college basketball recruiting is the dirtiest that there is?
You know, it's the dirtiest. It's kind of funny here, because from a just the people, the grime, the way it goes about, it's so much dirtier than college football. But in a way, it's sort of cleaner too, because the price is known up front. You know what I mean? It's almost more like business decisions, where you don't necessarily have like the shady uncle over in the stuff, whatever. And it's not all the crazy handlers. You kind of know all the entourage up front in basketball, where it's sort of just, hey, you pay, you play, and you move on to the next guy.
Well, here's what I would say to what you just said, and I don't think you're incorrect about this.
Okay.
I think college basketball recruiting is a little bit cleaner in that you are operating through agents, and you're at least knowing the agent you have to operate through to get the player. And in college football, you might be having to operate through grandma. You might be having to operate through pastor. You might be having to operate through high school football coach. It's different everywhere. You know, in college football, it's somebody different every time that you got to go through. At least in college basketball, I know the agent I'm dealing with, and I've probably dealt with them a number of times. So in that sense, you're right. It is a little bit, it's almost regulated in college basketball. Whereas in college football, it's the Wild West. You know, there might be five people per player I'm having to deal with, and it could be something different for every player. At least in college basketball, it feels somewhat regulated.
So what happens? This is what no one even talks about. Let's say this is as bad as that story yesterday said it's going to be. And frankly, I won't be surprised if it is. And they shut.
Not at all.
30 programs get hit. Lots of kids lose their eligibility, etc. These kids that are coming up through the AAU system, they expect to get paid. They've been told they're going to get paid. I think they should get paid. I'm a believer in paying the elite college athletes. They should at least be allowed to endorse products. You know that. I think that there's no reason in God's sun that Tua Tagovailoa, or however you say his last name, can't endorse 20 car dealerships in Alabama and make money right now. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel. I can't help it. It is what it is. There's no reason Colin Sexton.
Oh, no. I 100% agree with you. 100% agree with you on that.
Colin Sexton should be allowed to endorse stuff. Period. When these kids find out they can't get paid, I don't think they're going to go, well, you know what? I'm just going to go to college for free. I don't. I think this is going to be a boom to international basketball, or the NBA is going to amend its rules as it pertains to the G League and let these kids, the elite ones I'm talking about, who want to play and have the ability to perhaps one day play in the NBA, I think they're going to skip college entirely.
Yeah, I don't totally disagree with you on this. Ultimately, much like a high school football coach who is generally, you know, the most influential person in most football recruits' life, these AAU coaches become, in a lot of ways, the most influential person in these basketball players' lives. And they aren't going to go unpaid either. So you're going to have to, you know, if you're a college – if you're this AAU player, who you listen to? Well, you're listening to my AAU coach who says, son, you're an NBA player, and the last thing you should do is be playing for free. Now, we can't go to the NBA right now, but here's what we could do. I can get you with my buddy over in Italy. I got a buddy. He's coach over in Italy. We'll get you over there for a year, and then when you get to the NBA, you got to remember me now. Remember, I set all this up, okay? Because the AAU coach is not going to go from not getting any college money to nothing. He's going to go from not getting any college money to getting the NBA money now. So in a sense, it might even be a boom for a lot of these AAU coaches. But the one thing they're not going to do is just go unpaid. You don't have this system set up for this long where you've done this well on it and then just go to zero. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. That is going to be, I think, the offshoot of this. That's why I think in that article, and I can't remember who said it, it was one of the sources in the article, told Pete Thamel, the easier thing to do rather than penalize all these players is going to be simply change the rules once all of this comes out.
I don't know that I trust the NCAA to figure that out. In fact, I know that I don't. I think I've said it for a while now. This is a fraudulent organization that is run by people who are completely in over their heads, who are, in my opinion, corrupt. I think a lot of NCAA executives are on the take. I think they get money from people to overlook things. I do. I mean, and there's – I think this is I don't know where it goes. Like, if this comes down the week of the conference tournaments, I'll be fascinated to see if the NCAA tries to figure out a way to sort of turn a blind eye to it. Like it's not happening, man. It's almost like it's almost like the government reaction to school shootings. I don't see anything. I don't know what you're talking about. There's nothing to see. Yeah. I almost expect that from the NCAA.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing they can do in the NCAA tournament is come out and you know, while I am conducting an NCAA tournament that is making billions off the backs of these players that are playing in it, probably the most sanctimonious thing I could do is come out and talk about how these players need to make sure they're amateurs when they get to college basketball. How's that going to go over? So, wait a minute. You're at the event that funds your entire operation, and that's the truth of it. the NCAA basketball tournament funds their entire operation.
Yes.
That, to me, seems like a bad place to hold a press conference and saying we're committed to these players remaining amateurs. I mean, that to me, would not go over well at all. Now, I'm like you. I don't know if the NCAA understands any of that. I think they're so committed to this sham of amateurism that they think it's some sort of prize to be attained, which I've never really understood. I've never understood why we even glorify, without, you know, trying to pretend like I know history that well. You know, the whole basis of amateurism began back when the wealthy wanted to try to basically keep the working class under their thumb in athletic events. So what the wealthy said was, well, let's don't get paid for them. That way we can go practice all the time. The guy that works in the mines all day, he gets to practice once a week, and I can be better than him. I mean, that's the whole basis of amateurism, is how it started. Yet we as a society, for some reason, have found a reason to glorify that and believe that every college player should be that. And I've just never really understood that. So it's a long, convoluted, trying to sound smart answer to say, how could you, at the NCAA basketball tournament, hold any press conference that says you're committed to these players remaining amateurs? That's such a bad look.
Well, the system's draconian, but the system makes money for the NCAA, and it allows them to hold on to the sham. And they love the sham. They glorify the sham.
Yeah.
If you ever go to an NCAA tournament, all of the infomercials throughout the game in the arena are all about amateurism and how wonderful college athletics are. And aren't we special? This is great, y'all. That's the whole thing. If you ever go to a tournament, the whole thing is about that.
Yeah.
Instead of addressing.
That's one of my favorite.
Go ahead.
That's one of my favorite phone calls we get on our show. We don't talk about paying athletes a lot. It's become the should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame of sports talk radio. You know, it's just, you know, you can throw it out there and you got opinions on both sides and it doesn't really matter because we're not going to decide it on sports radio. But in the event it ever comes up, my favorite call is, the minute these players start getting paid, I'm going to quit watching. No, you're not. You build your whole life around this. Not just your weekend, it's your life. You're not going to quit watching Alabama football if they're getting a $50,000 check. Don't lie to yourself.
Yeah,
that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard anybody say.
That it's so stupid.
Half of Birmingham watches Alabama football on a Saturday. You're not going to turn that off because a kid's getting a check. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Dumbest thing.
I've yet to hear anybody justify why a kid can't get a check. No one's ever given me a good reason.
No. If indeed the athletics programs were nonprofit organizations, if this were all charity, I'd be cool with it. But it just doesn't make sense that, I mean, Alabama just profited, not revenue, profited $50 million in football. I mean, $50 million in profit. And by the way, they pay their coach more than anybody else in the country pays their coach, and they still profited $50 million. So, I mean, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Where else do we do this? If you did this in business, pick any business, profited $50 million, and word came out, oh, by the way, their employees work for, you know, education and food, you would be like, this is the most backwards thing I've ever heard. How does an organization profit $50 million and they don't even give their employees money? It makes absolutely no sense. It really doesn't. We don't allow this to happen anywhere else in society. We would scoff at it, laugh at it, call it unfair. Yet, we want to hold on to this sham of amateurism for some reason. I don't know why it makes people feel good. Why does it make people feel good that you're watching guys that, in theory, don't get paid? People have their own opinions. That's fine. The world's big enough for a bunch of opinions. I've just never understood why that's a draw for people. Why people feel like college sports is better than the NBA or the NFL because these guys aren't getting paid. I don't know, man. As long as it's entertaining, I'm fine with it. I don't care if they get paid or not.
Yeah, I always find it. People say, what I love is amateurism. And it's like, well, if you really want amateurism on all these campuses, Alabama, Auburn, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Florida, Purdue, Kentucky, wherever. I mean, if you really want amateurism, go watch the volleyball. Why don't you go watch volleyball? Why don't you go watch the girls' tennis?
Yeah. They don't, and here's the thing, they don't want amateurism, because that's what I've told people before. If you really want to watch amateurism, there's a small school here in Birmingham, Birmingham Southern College, private Methodist school, and they play Division III football. And if you really want to watch amateurism, those guys play every Saturday. That's what you need to go watch, because that's amateur football.
Yes.
You don't want amateurism. You don't. You want SEC football, which is big money, big stadiums, big fan bases, highly paid coaches, exceptional athletes that can play in the NFL. That ain't amateurism. That's not what you want. You may say that's what you want, but it's not what you're watching. You're not watching amateurism. So I don't know, man. I've never understood why it gets glorified, and I've never understood why people would think because a guy doesn't get paid, it's a better sport. That is a foreign concept to me.
We are 4 weeks, is that right, away from Selection Sunday. What would the NCAA, and it won't happen because it would be such sweet theater. What would the NCAA do, in your opinion, if the week leading up to Selection Sunday, the FBI came down with a lot of this information leaked? They leaked it to media.
Oh, boy.
Where you knew specifically which programs, specifically which players, specifically which agents, which street agents, which shoe companies. If all of that information came out, in your opinion, would the NCAA address it in their tournament bracket?
In other words, penalize any school that is mentioned. So Kansas is an Adidas school. They get mentioned. Kansas, we had penciled in as a 2 seed. We're not putting them in the tournament, or
yeah,
we're dropping
no,
them to
would
a
they,
eight
would
seed.
They take them out of the tournament at the risk of, no, oh, my God, no, a week from now, who knows what's going to happen if indictments are served in a week. And you've got a program that's playing a 4-13 game later that night. Because listen, I'm gonna be honest. I'm cheering for it. I can't help it. I'm hoping for it. I want the nuclear bomb to fall. I want the NCAA. I want the FBI, because I think they have. I believe Thamel's story. I believe every word of it. I've heard too many other college coaches that I know, people close to college coaches that I know, say, man, they have an absolute arsenal of goods against the sport. And a couple of coaches have said, I think they're waiting for the tournament. I mean, the FBI is no different than anyone else. They want the publicity. They want the spotlight. There's a surefire way to get it. Where do you get more run with this story, more play with this story? On January the 20th during the NFL playoffs, or somewhere around, say, March the 11th, right around the time that the tournament is seeded?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt it's around the tournament. So if I'm the NCAA, here's what I do. I reach out to every school that is going to be in the bracket, and I tell them, your official response to this is, we are conducting an internal investigation, and until we finish the internal investigation, Coach so-and-so remains part of our staff. We are a nation where we are innocent until proven guilty. We take this very seriously, but Coach so-and-so will remain part of our staff until our internal investigation is finished. And if I'm the NCAA, I tell the schools privately, there will be zero future penalties for you playing any player or employing any assistant coach that is mentioned in these indictments during this tournament. We'll address this after the tournament. That's what I do. I say, let's just go business as usual, because this tournament is our baby. It's where we make our money, and we ain't going to give them a bad TV product, man. We're going to give them something they want to watch. That's the way I would deal with it if I'm the NCAA.
And I think that's how they'll deal with it.
Yep. Yep. There'll be no penalties. You play whoever's mentioned. You let Coach so-and-so coach. We'll agree right now. We're not going to give you any penalties for that.
And I tell you, here's the other
great tournament, boys, and we'll settle this afterwards.
And the other memo is going to be to the broadcast. You want to keep broadcast rights to this? It doesn't get mentioned.
Yep. Yep. That's where, because Fox is buying up everything right now. Fox is buying up Thursday Night Football, the NFL draft. That's where I tell CBS, hey, Fox will take this tournament in a heartbeat. They got FS1. They got Fox Sports. They'll put this thing on in a heartbeat. We'll remember when the contract's up how you handled this. Trust me. So, yeah, absolutely. I'm reaching out to CBS, and I'm reaching out to every school, and we're gonna keep this thing quiet in our tournament.
Take a break in our talk with Ryan to tell you the podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also, a condo financing leader in Oxford, and you get the float down option, which means you lock in a current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate, 662-234-2704, or JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan is the place to go. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Go in, tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. All the 18s are there. Previously owned vehicles, great lease deals, as we've told you about for a while. So just go in, tell them about it. And they'll hook you up. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. Harry's been in the Oxford area for more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab at the top left. Filter through by what you are looking for. And then send him an email. It's ha@HarryAlexander.com. Now back to Ryan Brown on the Oxford Exxon podcast. Do you hear in that state, and you and Chase may have mentioned this a little bit earlier, I was distracted with something, so I'll be honest. Do you hear that at the end of this season, no matter how it ends, Bruce Pearl's job is in dire jeopardy?
Dire might be an overstatement. You know, the interesting thing is, before the Pete Thamel story came out, I don't know if you guys saw the Wall Street Journal story, that one of the key witnesses for the FBI ran into some legal issues himself, and it apparently was going to keep him from being able to testify. So there was a lot of hope, I think, that maybe at least in the Chuck Person front and those original coaches that were arrested, maybe some of the FBI's case is falling apart. Now, the Thamel story might change that. You might look at it now and say, well, no, it looks like the FBI's got more goods than they even initially said. So I don't know. That's up in the air. But I think initially people took that as almost a good sign that maybe the FBI wasn't going to be able to push this forward. Dire jeopardy. Jeopardy is certainly a word you would use. Dire jeopardy, I don't know that I would put it to that point yet. This is a team that today is a one seed, so there really has never been more excitement about the Auburn basketball program going into an NCAA tournament. I would say there's even more excitement now. You were around when Cliff Ellis took them in as one seed.
I was.
There's more excitement now. Yeah, there's more excitement now than that. This is as excited as Auburn's fan base has been. So I think Auburn school president has to balance that out. You know, how much is it worth having a good, excited program versus making sure we stay clean in the NCAA's eyes? I mean, again, I know I've said this a lot on this podcast. I've said it a lot on the air. When your school president comes out and publicly says, you know, hey, this is great and all, we are so excited about what's going on, but Coach Pearl has to understand he's going to have to come talk to me about this. You can't hear a school president say that and think, oh, everything's okay. Everything's not okay. Now, when Pearl comes and talks to him, Pearl may convince him, hey, we are all good. You know, I had nothing to do with this. My hands are clean. You don't have to worry about me, and everything's good. I don't know, but jeopardy is 100% a concern. Dire jeopardy, I don't know that I would put it to that level. I think a lot of Auburn fans feel like Bruce Pearl is going to survive this, and that is a change because I think there was a general feeling Pearl might not even survive it to conference play this year, that he might have been fired. There was a really strong rumor, and it was coming from Auburn circles, not just, you know, rumor mill everywhere. This is coming from Auburn circles that Auburn was prepared to fire Bruce Pearl Iron Bowl weekend, and that the firing was going to go down Sunday after the Iron Bowl, and it didn't happen. And now you see what's come of it now, but that it was probably even more dire back then, I think, than it is now.
Your Nationals getting ready. They're I saw where Buster Olney is picking picking the Nationals and the Indians in the World Series. I'm curious, as a Nationals fan, and I was this way in Kevin Durant's final season, do you feel as a fan almost sort of desperate to get it done this year, given what could be coming down the pipe at the end of the year?
See, this is – I don't trust your objectivity as a Cubs fan asking this question. You think Bryce Harper's going to be a Cub, don't you?
I've followed every word that Theo Epstein has said now for about 7 years, and he is hinting at it strongly.
Right.
In much the same way, that, you know, I look back on it. I'll answer it this way. I look back on Kevin Durant's last season in Oklahoma City, and when Adrian Wojnarowski wrote in about January of that season that the Warriors were a real threat, and nobody in the next 48 hours shot it down, I said to myself, the Warriors are a real threat. Because if Woj says it, it might as well be. If there are basketball gods, they are Adrian Wojnarowski. When informed people say the Cubs are a major threat, the Dodgers are a major threat for Bryce Harper, well, they probably are. And if you're the Nationals, it doesn't mean you'll lose him. But what I'm saying is, as a fan, do you say, hey, this is the last year of the contract. There is no extension at this point. He's still on my team. He's still one of the three or four best players in the game. Is the window as open right now as it's ever going to be guaranteed to be? We've got to get it done now.
Probably so. And you got to remember, you know, Adam Eaton got hurt very early in the season last year. And he's going to be back to full health. And that certainly makes that a more dynamic lineup. I mean, even though Michael A. Taylor hit what I thought was the biggest, well, it might have been the biggest home run in Nationals history at Wrigley. You know, Michael A. Taylor is not supposed to be an everyday player. He's there because Adam Eaton is out hurt. So, with Eaton back, you know, the lineup is back what it should be. There are rumors that the Nationals may land Jake Arrieta.
I've heard that.
Do I want him? Yeah, I mean, if your rotation is Scherzer, Gonzalez, Strasburg, and Arrieta, that's your front four. Well, that's a pretty formidable rotation, isn't it?
Oh, it's tremendous. Jake Arrieta's that guy he's going to get a 5-year deal, and the last year or two on that deal could be a little squirrely, but he's still right now today for this year for next season. He's high value. Jake's a tremendous pitcher. I mean, I do question.
So I would,
You know, and as he gets older into his 30s, given the way that he throws across his body and how dependent he is on superhuman core strength, as he gets older, that's going to be more and more difficult to pull off. But no, I mean, would he make the Nationals a better team this season? Absolutely.
Yeah, so I would be pumped about that, obviously. But to answer your question, sure. I mean, when you're losing potentially the best player in baseball, or you've got the potential of losing him, and I am fully prepared that that is the case. I'm fully prepared to see him playing with his buddy Chris Bryant, or to see him playing in L.A. Probably not in New York. You know, there was a time where I thought it would be New York, and I guess you never count them out of anything. But boy, it seems like they've got a lot invested in this current lineup here. I don't know that they would go after Bryce Harper. So I'm fully prepared to see him in another uniform, yes. And when you know it's your last year with him, absolutely. I mean, the guy, you look at – people will look at his postseason numbers and say, well, you're not losing that much in the postseason. Keep in mind, you know, he basically last year came back just for the postseason. The year before, he was phenomenal in the postseason. So his numbers are a touch misleading in the postseason. You know, you better take advantage of it. It is a lot like what I'm sure you felt as a Thunder fan with Westbrook on the way out the door. I better win it now because it's my only chance. And I love Buster picking them in the World Series. But the truth is, this team, this franchise has never even won a postseason series. So getting to the World Series probably would be a victory in and of itself. But yeah, I mean, you would be crazy not to think you better take advantage of it this year, because we don't have another Bryce Harper. We got some good players in that lineup, but there's not another Bryce Harper.
completely off topic here, Ryan, but I've got to ask this because I'm sort of curious. So last week, I'm testing out cutting the cable, and going with Hulu Live is my option for the moment. 40 channels, good price, okay. Pretty happy with it. Anyway, so I've got to get an antenna, one of those HD antenna things, to get Memphis and Tupelo and the local news for me. Somehow, when it did my zip code, my local news is coming from Birmingham. I'm getting Birmingham local channels.
Roll Tide.
You get a lot of Nick Saban on your local commercials.
You get a lot of Nick Saban on your commercials?
Yeah, like I'm getting local commercials with like Nick Saban and like the local John Deere dealer. I'm getting a lot of Birmingham secondary news through my commercials right now.
Well, that's really, really interesting. You know, I got to 100% confess with you, Chase, you're probably watching more Birmingham local TV than I am. I almost never watch local TV here.
Well, my wife was watching the Olympics, and it was on NBC, so I'm getting WVTM whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you get the ABC affiliate out of Birmingham, ABC 3340?
I have not clicked to it, but I do believe it is an option if I would like it for it to be.
Okay, well, 10:30 Sunday night, I do a TV show there, so you'll need to watch that. So that's really interesting. That's really interesting. You know, I didn't know Saban was doing that many commercials. I know he's got a Mercedes dealership, obviously, that he does the commercials for. It's hilarious. People on our show love the radio commercial he does because it literally, and I'm sure this is what happened, it literally sounds like Nick Saban for Nick Saban or for Mercedes of Birmingham, the Nick Saban Olds. It literally sounds like they said, "Coach, we got to do some radio commercials for the Mercedes dealership." And he said, "I've got 5 minutes." And basically, whatever he gave them in the 5 minutes, they had to make into a commercial.
Okay.
It is a complete and total emotionless read about a Mercedes dealership.
Let me tell you what I heard, and I'm not going to say where I heard it from, but the source is impeccable. I heard that Saban in the summer, he takes like a 2 week vacation.
Yeah.
And he goes
up to Lake Burton.
He goes away for a week to the lake, takes lots of video with him. He evaluates recruits like 20 a day.
Yep.
And then to break up the vacation, he comes back to Tuscaloosa and is in the office for 2 days. And one of those days is completely committed to filming and recording all of his commercials for the year.
Yeah, I don't know that to be 100% true, but it wouldn't shock me at all. Yeah, I think because I know, obviously, the radio network. See, he used to do Ford commercials, and I don't think he does those anymore now that he owns the Mercedes dealership. But we used to laugh about the pressure on the cameraman knowing that him and a Ford driving past Bryant-Denny Stadium was only going to happen once. So you better get the shot right that first time because Saban wasn't going to do a three-point turn and come back and run through in front of Brian Denny again. That was you had to get the shot the first pass through.
So, can you imagine if the cameraman said, "Coach, you're a little out of focus. I need you to do that again."
Well, that sounds like a you problem, not a me problem. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. That one, I do know that he does that 2 week vacation and he does fly back for a brief stay. So, but I wasn't aware that's when he does all his commercials. Wouldn't shock me. And you know, he does his reads for, you know, the Ziegler meets during the, you know, "Hi, I'm Nick Saban. When I grill hot dogs, I grill Ziegler hot dogs." You know,
"Hi, I'm Nick Saban. If I were low enough to grill a hot dog, I would grill a Ziegler hot dog."
That's it. I mean, it would be better. I think they'd be hilarious if it's like, "Hi, I'm Nick Saban. When my people grill hot dogs for me, they use Ziegler meat." You know, if he would just be really honest about it, I think the commercials would actually be better. Like, you know, like, "Hi, I'm Nick Saban for Birmingham Mercedes. I don't plan to ever set foot in this dealership, but I'll make millions off of it. And if you're an Alabama fan, you should buy your Mercedes here." You know, I think people would probably say, "Okay, well, that's an honest commercial." But yeah, it wouldn't shock me that that's when he does all of that, that he spends a day in the office and he tells them, "This is your day. You type out what I need to say. I'll read it through once and you'll make that work. All right, coach, we'll be there." You know, that wouldn't shock me at all.
You know what a great Nick Saban commercial would be? If he did in a Mercedes, sort of like Matthew McConaughey does in the
Lincoln, right?
Yeah. If you saw Nick Saban like, getting dressed and kind of looking in the back mirror at another Nick Saban. That would be awesome. It'll never happen, but that would be phenomenal television commercials.
Yeah, if he would just get a sense of humor and start spoofing popular commercials, right?
Yes. Oh God.
Yeah, that would be terrific. Like if he's just McConaughey driving around with random thoughts bouncing through his mind, that would be phenomenal. I don't think he's got any interest in spending the time to do that, or probably even B, the personality required to do that.
And he probably
people tell me he's a funnier guy than you would give him credit for. That when he lets his guard down and is actually around people he knows and trusts, that he's a funnier guy than you would imagine. That you would not, you don't see that ever see that side of him. So he might have a better sense of humor than we think, but he's never going to let you see it.
Yeah, I wouldn't even imagine that he would. If you pitched that idea to him and said, "Hey, coach, this would really be funny," I don't even know that he would even understand the commercial that you were referencing. He strikes me as that guy.
We asked him once. He comes on our show about once or twice a year. You know, it's no regular appearance by any stretch of the imagination. But one time, and it might have been at SEC Media Days or the local, there's a local Champions Tour golf tournament where he's always one of the celebrities. And that's normally when we get him on. He'll sit down with us at those two events. We asked him once, the show, and this is several years ago, the show I'm going to say will tell you how long ago it was. We were like, "Coach, when you go home and you unwind, give us the show that you make sure you watch on DVR." And I never watched this show, but he said Dexter.
Really?
Which is a show about a serial killer. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that is the most Nick Saban thing ever. The one show he likes is a show about a serial killer. And but that was it. That's what he said. So I doubt he's ever seen the McConaughey commercial. Unless it airs in a random NFL game that he's watching, or it for some reason aired during Dexter, I don't know that he's ever seen it.
Yeah, and Dexter was on Showtime, so no commercials. So,
yeah. So you're not going to see it there.
All right, for your show, Ron, since I know you're going to lead with this, I'll just let you know, Alabama plays Valparaiso today in college baseball. That game is at 3 o'clock. It's on the SEC Network Plus, and then Auburn is playing the mighty Longwood University today in Auburn.
Wow, that is an interesting name. Does Coach Drew coach Valpo? Is that the guy? Is it Bryce Drew's dad? That's Homer Drew, right? And he's the Valpo coach.
Yeah, that's right. He does all sports. I mean, it's just baseball.
Yeah, I thought he did.
Can just do it part time. It's fine.
Valparaiso and Auburn.
Yeah,
are two
not
of the,
do what?
Valparaiso and Auburn are two of the schools that send the most mail recruiting, most academic recruiting mail I've ever seen. It's unbelievable. It's impressive. It's constant. Valparaiso and
Auburn. Is your daughter considering Valpo?
No.
Oh.
She's considering Auburn, but she's not considering Valpo.
Yeah.
But Valpo, man, they send some impressive stuff. It's good.
Wow. That's in Indiana, right? I mean, that's up in the middle of Indiana, isn't
it? Yeah, it's not far from, like, Chicago, I don't think.
Yeah, that's a random school. I mean, that's just so random that they would send that much to a girl in the Deep South.
Yeah. They do. Lots.
Oh.
Huh.
All right. Anything else, Neil?
No. I'm just happy to be back in society today.
Yeah. That's it. Neil's cheery for Neil. I mean, he's about a 4.5 on the 10 scale, so real positive day for Mr.
Okay. Curry. That's not bad.
Yeah, no, not bad at all.
Yeah, that's not – hey, is it still Steve Forbes, by the way? Is that still the guy in Oxford?
At the risk of sounding like a smartass, Ole Miss people are going to make Mike White tell them no, and then we're going to have this giant Mike White debate for the next 4 weeks, which actually is pretty good because it's a nuanced requires context debate, and in today's world where people say I'm not going to read all of that or listen to all of that, that makes it a lot of fun.
So basically, you think Ole Miss will not make a move until Florida is eliminated from the NCAA or the NIT?
See, you just added a little to it. I don't know whether Ross Bjork is truly, or whoever's running the Ole Miss search, which is another layer of context. I don't know that they'll wait. I do think it's going to almost be a requirement, because right now Ole Miss people are really hung up on one of their own, frankly, and they're hung up on Mike. Yeah. And people like Mike, and I like Mike. And people are saying, why are you being negative about Mike White? I'm not. I like Mike. From a personal, even professional standpoint, Mike White getting the Ole Miss job, for me, makes my job easy. It's seamless. And I know on some levels why Mike might be interested. I also know on other levels why he wouldn't be interested. But Mike leaving Florida to take a job that is parallel at best, at very best, at the wildest best, tells you that it's because something's going on negatively at Florida.
Yeah.
And so it's that it's, and Mike White was on Andy Kennedy's staff as the lead recruiter for a long time. And they didn't land elite prospects. So you have to assume that, well, if he's the head coach, given the success that he's had at Florida, that will change the game in Oxford. And as we tie this conversation up in a bow with what we talked about in the first 20 minutes, I'm not convinced if you're not locked into the circles that feed elite players to those programs, I'm not convinced that changes because a head coach changes.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Alabama changed.
That's interesting.
I mean, but Alabama was able to go out and get Colin Sexton and others because of Avery Johnson's child, son, I should say, because he's not a little baby, he's a college kid. Because of his relationship with his son, he had ties with those AAU kids.
Yeah.
And so he's able to bring them in. And also, you know, Avery Johnson has a strong NBA presence, that kind of thing. I don't know. I think Forbes is a candidate. I know Forbes is interested in the job. But man, I mean, look, if Thamel's right and there's massive turnover in college basketball in the next month, who knows where anybody lands?
You know, it's interesting. And for those that are, I don't know. I mean, I would imagine Andy Kennedy is still well thought of, even on his way out the door. It's interesting for those that wonder what might become of him, one of the immediate reactions here at Birmingham, because I don't suspect that most of your listeners have followed UAB basketball. But, you know, Jared Haas was the coach, had really good success. He took the Stanford job, and one of his top assistant, Rob Esine, followed him, and it has not gone well. It has kind of fallen off. And I think deep down inside, it's only Esan's second year, so it's a quick move. But deep down inside, I think a lot of UAB fans would like that to be Andy Kennedy's landing spot. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to him. I mean, Andy may have bigger – I don't know what your opinion is. Andy may have bigger plans than that. I mean, that's a job that was paying Jared Haas $1 million. So, you know, it's not a terrible job in Birmingham, Alabama, at your old school. But you know, that may be what becomes of Andy Kennedy for those that wonder.
Yeah, and Andy has a daughter at Samford right now. Birmingham would
obviously, he does, yeah.
You know, and the youngest daughter graduates high school in May. I don't know where she's going. She's a very bright girl. She has lots of opportunities. I don't know. It's interesting. I've said all along he could go be a TV star, but I don't think Andy Kennedy is through coaching. I really don't. I mean, he's 49 years old or so. I don't think he's through coaching at all. But what happens if this NCAA thing goes down and it's a mushroom cloud, and as the dust starts to settle, people go look at Andy Kennedy and they go, well, wait a minute. Guy's a pretty good record when you consider the fact that he either didn't cheat, couldn't cheat, or they didn't cheat much. Because I can tell you, they didn't, in 12 years, they didn't go land a five-star Happy Meal All-Star. You know what I mean? I mean, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so he...
Yeah. You know, then that's another interesting thing you say. One branch off of that, if it is a mushroom cloud, think of all the jobs that are about to potentially be open.
Yes, what I'm saying.
Now, Andy's not going to get the Kansas job, but somebody's going to get the Kansas job that's going to open a pretty good job. They're going because once this mushroom cloud hits, it's not just going to take out, if it does, it's just not going to take out head coaches. It's going to take out head coaches and their top assistants. So these top assistants aren't just going to naturally go into these jobs. This is going to be great news for a lot of coaches because there are going to be some big-time jobs come open, and they're not going to be the natural people to fall into these big-time jobs.
Yeah, it is going to be a fascinating time. I'm hoping for chaos. I love chaos. I think college basketball deserves chaos. It does. It deserves chaos. I want to see Mark Emmert have to stand up in front of a podium and act like the idiot that I think he is. I think he needs to be exposed for the fraud that he is. College athletics needs to be changed. The current system, and I've said this earlier, I'll, at the risk of being repetitive, it's draconian. And it is easily fixable with common sense.
Well, I'll go back to the article. Somebody in Thamel's article says, when all this comes out, it's going to be easier just to change the rules than hand down the penalties. And I'll be fascinated to see if the NCAA has to look themselves in the mirror and say, do we want to nearly shut down our only moneymaker, or do we want to change the rules and keep it alive? And that will be a fascinating decision that they make.
It will. Hey, man, thanks for the time. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, boys, y'all be good.
You too.
Ryan giving us an extended amount of time there on the show. Appreciate him. As always, and speaking of maybe need a little extended amount of time, Tyson Drugs in Holly Springs, TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321. I know you have the Sildenafil if you need that. $10 for pill instead of $50 or $60 for the other guys. It is the same length of effectiveness and gets you ready as little as 15 minutes. So give them a call, 662-252-2321. And remember, they now own G&M Pharmacy in Oxford, where they deliver local and give you the same great service.
Ole Miss Athletics wants you to know, Rebel Nation, that 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. So be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Ole Miss and Winthrop, 4 o'clock. Winthrop holding its ace this weekend. They announced their rotation, till Sunday, not all weekend. On Sunday, they will throw Nate Polisic. I think that's how you pronounce it. I don't know. Don't shoot me there. And nobody from Winthrop's probably listening, so it doesn't really matter. They're going Zach Peak on Friday, Colton Rendon on Saturday, and then their ace on Sunday, the Big South preseason pitcher of the year. Ole Miss sticking with Rollison, Feigl, and McArthur for their weekend rotation.
I think that's smart. I do. The ace has a better chance of beating Feigl or McArthur than he does Rollison. So give yourself a chance to win the game. A game on Sunday as a win if you're Winthrop. I'm looking at this from the Winthrop point of view.
Yeah.
A win on Sunday is worth every bit as much as a win on Friday. Literally, the value is absolute equality. Get a win. Give yourself the best chance to get a win. I think that's smart.
And if you happen to steal one of the first ones, then you got your ace going on Sunday.
Now you got a chance to really do something special.
Yeah.
But if you're Winthrop, what's your real goal? What's your real goal? Not the stated coach
cliche. Win one game.
Yeah, go win a game. Get a win. So at the end of the year, on your RPI, we got to win. Beat Ole Miss once. I mean, Winthrop's sitting there. I can tell you what Winthrop's hoping. Winthrop's hoping to win one. They'd love to win two. Win one, and then they want Ole Miss to win about 50. They're going to buy some Ole Miss gear on the way out.
Yeah, in the next 10 days, Winthrop plays Ole Miss three times, South Carolina once, and Clemson once, and then they're going to be huge fans of those three teams the rest of the season.
If you promised them 2-4.
With 2-5. They only play five. It's 1-1-1 against the other ones. Oh, three okay. against Ole Miss, one against Carolina, one against Clemson.
Offered them 2-4. They'd take it.
2-3.
Huh?
Five games now. 3-1-1-5.
Oh, yeah, okay. Offer them 2-3, they jump. Win one in Oxford, win one against one of those two teams.
Yeah. And if you happen to get a game rained out, you throw the Nate kid against South Carolina on Tuesday night.
So that's the second question. If tomorrow's forecast holds, and tomorrow's forecast is a lot of rain. Now, the rain's supposed to get out late afternoon, but
we'll see.
If there's no Saturday game, they play two Sunday?
It's hard to do that typically. However, I was told yesterday, well, I think David Kellum told me he heard that Winthrop took a bus in, and if Chuba was required on Sunday, they can make that happen, is what I was told.
If it poured, you know more about this field than I do.
It drains incredibly well.
If it poured from 5 a.m. until 5 p.m., I mean really let it go for 12 hours, can that field
play
be playable?
Eight. Do you play at 8? I don't know, but you could play by 8.
Gotcha.
It really, really drains well.
Okay.
Because
the weather forecast calls for
a lot of rain in the morning.
Quite the deluge tomorrow.
Yeah, today's okay. I think we're cool. We're cool today.
I'm pulling up the rain. It's raining as we speak right now, but I think this is supposed to get out. It's supposed to stop around 11, and then really there's no rain of
after about 1:30 or 2.
Yeah, there's no real rain of significance this afternoon or tonight, and then the rain scheduled to get started tomorrow morning, 5-ish, 6-ish in the morning, and then pretty heavy percentage chances of rain until at the absolute minimum 4 or 5 o'clock, and then it kind of clears out. And Sunday looks okay.
Ole Miss will get tested a little bit by some Winthrop pitching. I do like their arms. They're a really, really good mid. They're deeper than most mid-majors. Now, look, you get into their bullpen, you're going to have a heyday probably. But they've got three starters that are capable. They've got a couple dudes. They don't hit very well. Ole Miss pitchers should have a pretty good weekend, in my opinion. It's off chance to get off to a good start. Tulane next weekend. Tulane sucks. And then the trip to Long Beach
so
State.
Mean. So
they do. They're terrible.
You're so mean. Those people, that's somebody's son.
It is. And
no, that's it. I mean, just try not to be such a jerk about it.
They're less adequate at baseball than some other programs around the country.
That's better. Less hurtful.
Sorry. For the sickos out there, your SEC schedule for the weekend, Maryland plays Tennessee today. Tough opening series for Tennessee, actually. Maryland's kind of good. I sort of like the Terrapins there.
That's what I heard. I was reading a little bit about Maryland's baseball team, and I said, you know what? They got a shot this year, those Terps.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Go ahead. Sorry.
Bucknell plays Arkansas. Okay, fine. Whatever. Arkansas is really good. They're the best team in the SEC West. Valparaiso, as I mentioned with Ryan, plays Alabama and Tuscaloosa, I assume. VMI plays South Carolina. Sure. Georgia Southern plays Georgia. Duke at Vanderbilt today in Nashville. Mississippi State at Southern Miss. Really critical opening series for the Golden Eagles to get some RPI help early in the year. Kentucky plays Wofford. Longwood plays Auburn. Siena plays Florida. Missouri plays FIU. Rhode Island, who's got an ace, they actually can get A&M trouble today. Rhode Island and A&M. And then your SEC Network plus primetime game, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish is at the LSU Tigers.
Okay.
Notre Dame went 10-20 in the ACC last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, something tells me that South Bend has not been the greatest place to get ready for a baseball season.
it's really good in a lot of sports. The move to the ACC has not been a good thing for Notre Dame baseball.
I wouldn't think.
Not a place for them to be hanging out.
I would not think so.
It's kind of like Missouri playing in the SEC in baseball. It's just not a great fit from a program standpoint.
Yeah, just sometimes you just got to chalk one up, you know?
Well, at least Notre Dame's got company over there, though. I mean, Pitt has to do it, too, for that matter.
Sometimes, I think you just have to sacrifice a sport.
Call the baseball coach in and go, so we're going to play in the ACC. No. So you're going to open with Louisville. Then you're going to play Miami and Virginia and Florida State, North Carolina. Okay, cool.
So
cool.
You just say, hey, look, don't have scandal.
We're going to keep paying you. You're not going to get fired that quick.
Don't have any scandal. I don't really want to have to manage your program. You just go do it yourself.
I'd really appreciate a good APR.
Yeah. Have your kids do well. Y'all study.
And we'll make it work. So
we'll do the best we can for as long as we can.
Mike Bianco with at least a chance to get to 700 wins this season. He comes into the season with 662 wins, 395 losses, and a tie. So 38 wins would put Mike at 700, hitting that benchmark for his career. Just kind of noticed that in the media guide this morning. So anyway. There's that. Plenty more at rebelgrove.com. I haven't exactly decided what I'm going to do coverage-wise today, but you'll get plenty of that all weekend long, and then we'll be back on Monday. Take care.